How many are glad you're here today? Ooh, how many picnic goers have we got here today? Any picnic goers? Come on. Come on. More hands. Come on. Hallelujah. I got to have more people there. Come on. I got to play some volleyball or something. Right? Now, we're going to have a good time today. It's going to be awesome. But we got a little bit of work to do right now, don't we? Come on. We're gonna learn some more about knowing God. Amen. Hallelujah. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to look at these same two passages again this week that we looked at last week. Just as a reminder, I'm not going to spend all my time there. Glory to God. But 2 Timothy chapter 1. Says, that is why I am suffering here in prison. Of course, just as a reminder, Paul's suffering in prison because he was preaching the gospel, right? And he says, that is why I'm suffering here in prison. But I am not ashamed of it, for I know the one in whom I trust. I know the one in whom I trust. Notice he didn't say, I know what I trust. He says, I know in whom I trust. I know the one in whom I trust. He is displaying that he has an absolute relationship with God. And not just, I just got saved kind of relationship. But he has a relationship where he is intimate with God. He talks not just to God. What a lot of people call prayer is before you leave the house in the morning, you utter a quick prayer telling God what you need or want him to do. But that's not prayer in its entirety. Prayer is not a monologue. Prayer is a dialogue. So here's the question. How many of us actually give God time to respond? I mean, how do you think that would go if you and your buddy, you know, you're hanging out and you do all the talking, but you never give him time to say anything? Or husband and wife, you know, one does all the talking, but you doesn't give the other one time to respond. Here, I got a lot of things I want to talk to you about. But you're not really talking about, you're just talking to. But you got to give time for response. It's the same thing with prayer. It's the same way with God. So he says, but I'm not ashamed for where I am, for I know it, the one in whom I trust. And I am sure. How do you think he became so sure? From spending time. It's like me and Heather. I mean, I have a confidence. When I talk to her about something or she talks to me about something, we know that something's going to happen because we've spent time together and we've seen the reliability of one another. So we know, and God's even more reliable than I could ever be or that Heather could ever be, right? So he says, for I know the one in whom I trust, and I am sure that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him. Amen. All right, let's go on over to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. What does that one say? John chapter 17 says, now I am coming to you. I told them many things while I was with them in this world so that they would be filled. No, John 17, 3. That's 13. John 17, 3. I might have wrote it funny on the paper. He may have thought my three was a 13. I don't know. All right. Verse 3. Okay, I'll just read it right out of here. John 17, 3, it says, And this is the way we have eternal life. It's to know him. To know him, right? This is the way that we have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, right? So Jesus is talking. He's praying. He's talking to the Lord. And he says, and this is the way to have an eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one that you sent to the earth. So it's about knowing him, isn't it? Hallelujah. All right, so we're going to go a little bit further today. You know, you can actually identify people that know God by the way they talk about God. You know, how many sports fans in here? I mean, I'm one. Seriously? Jesus, help me, Lord. Okay. All right. We got to do some outreaches, people. Got to reach out to the sports people. No. It's okay. I'm still going to use it as an analogy. But you know, you can be standing in a line and think that you don't know anybody, and you may not know anybody in that line. But when someone starts talking about a game, maybe they're talking about your team, and then when, especially if they're talking about your team, all of a sudden, man, there is a dialogue. I mean, you don't have to know them. I don't know how many times my son has been at the, when he was younger, and it, we'd go be going to the store, and we would leave. He said, "Dad, Daddy, how do you know them?" I said, "I don't." He says, "Then why were you talking to them?" Because we had something to talk about in common. Because they started talking about something that I was interested in. And it may not have been just football. It may have been something else. Who knows what it could have been. But here's the deal. Thank you, Lord. Make sure I'm not getting lost here. Yeah, okay. So you can, what I'm talking about is you can identify someone who knows the Lord by the way they talk about God. So there's a difference between, you know, if you talk about a football team and if you're actually on the team. Does that make sense? I mean, I can talk about someone. So I could talk about Dak Prescott, president, quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, right? No matter what your feelings are about that, it doesn't matter. Okay, so, but I can talk about him, but I don't know him. I can tell you all of his stats. I can talk about his plays. I can talk about his recovery. I can talk about all the things that he's gone through, but I'm simply just giving you information about him. And you can really tell when between someone who is talking about someone and someone that actually knows them. See, a lot of you in here could give some facts about Pastor Heather. But nobody in here could talk about her like I can talk about her. Because and you can tell why? Because there's an intimacy, there's a knowing. I spend hours with her literally every day. We work together here, right? We live together, we talk together, we fellowship together, we hang out together, we do stuff together. Well, there's more of an intimacy with her than any of you are going to ever have. And it's the same way with God. We can rattle off things that the Bible says about God, but there's a difference between, I mean, think about, let me use Carolyn, if it's okay to use her for an example. A couple of weeks ago, she got up and shared some things where the Holy Spirit spoke to her. And man, you could tell there's a relationship. She's not just telling you stuff that she read in the Bible. She's telling you about experiences that she has had with the Lord, where he spoke specific things to her, and then she walked those things out. And it brought deliverance to people. It brings healing to people. It brings the help to people. Why? Because she knows the Lord, right? And there's a lot of us in here that know the Lord, right? But we're talking about how you can identify. There's a difference between just talking about God and speaking from experience with God. Amen? All right. Let me make this statement. Then I want you to be going to Matthew chapter 7. A lot of people make this mistake. They mistake religious activity for knowing God. Well, I do a lot. I do a lot around the church. I go out and I try to be a witness to people and all those kind of things. And we sometimes mistake what we do for God. We try to replace that with knowing God. But there is a difference between religious activity. You can do all the religious activity you want to. You can go on every outreach. You can do all kinds of things to be a blessing to people and all that. But that is not the same as knowing God. Let's see. Let's look at an example of that. Over in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, it says this. It says, Jesus is speaking and he's talking about true disciples and he says, "Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven." So he's talking about there are people that are, but Lord, and as we go on to read, it says, we'll get to it. It says, "Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name." Wow. "We cast out demons in your name." Man, that's crazy. Right? We performed many miraculous things, many miracles in your name. But he said, I will reply, I never what? Knew you. I never knew you. Get away from me, though, you who are break God's laws. Right? So, and there's a lot of people, they want to continue living their life the way they want, but they say they know God. And that is an absolute impossibility. You cannot truly know God and continue to live a life of sin or live your life the way you want to live it. See, that's where the Lordship of Jesus comes in. Now, see, now this is the kind of message that a lot of people don't want to hear today, and a lot of preachers aren't preaching today. They want to say the simple things and the easy things and the comfortable things to get you into their church, but that is not bringing salvation to anybody's life. Right? And we're about the truth here. The truth in love, but the truth, right? So he says here, yeah, you did all those things, but sorry, I never knew you. So they were actually able to do some of these things and not even really have a, and I'm not saying they didn't have a relationship with God. I'm saying they never knew him. There are people in marriages these days that they're married, but they never talk to one another. I mean, no, there's no life in that home. Because there's no relationship, there's no intimacy, there's no coming together, there's no conversing. But it's so important for us to know God. Over in Titus, look at this, Titus chapter 1. There is an amazing statement here in Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, it's right before Hebrews. Says this in verse 15, he says, everything is pure to those whose hearts are pure, but nothing is pure to those who are corrupt and unbelieving, because their minds and their consciences are corrupted. Right? Then he goes on to say in verse 17, in verse 16, it says, such people claim that they know God. So you got people that claim to know God, but the Bible says, but they deny him by the way they live. They claim to know God, but they deny him by the way they live. How many know, when you come to know God, it brings a life change? A lot of us in here know that, don't we? Romans chapter 6 and verse 2 says there will be a newness of life. I was just talking to someone this week, and we were talking about the belief system that's floating around, and it's a sloppy grace. In other words, I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, but now that I'm saved, I can continue to live the way I've always lived. That's not true grace. That's a deceptive grace. It is leading people to destruction, and they think that they're saved. See, there has to be a newness of life. It says right here in Titus, it says, they claim to know God, but they deny him by the way they live. See, we've got to say, hey, God, I want to know you. And guess what? You don't get to know God by your standards. You don't get to define the standard of knowing God. God defines that standard. Right? And so it's so important for us to come to know him the way he says we need to come to know him. And so we can't say we know God, but continue on in our own fears, our own anxieties, our own mess, our own stuff. We got to say, God. And that's what that prayer call a while ago was about. Come on, let's give everything to God. Say, God, I don't want to keep nothing to myself. I want to give you my entire life. All those things in the hidden chambers of my heart, maybe it's unforgiveness. I don't know. I don't know why I keep coming back to that. Maybe somebody in here is dealing with some unforgiveness. I don't know. But whatever it is, we just got to say, God, no, I give it all to you. I give it all to you. You can't truly walk in the healing that God has for you. And oh my goodness, if we can all just get to where we're walking in the healing and the deliverance God truly has for us, you're talking about freedom. That is freedom, right? But we've got to be willing to let go and let God. Let go of all that stuff and say, God, I give it to you. It's all yours. But he says here in Titus, he says, people claim to know God, but they deny him by the way they live. I actually made up a little slide, and I forgot to tell Bill about it, so I'm not going to be able to get it up on the screen. It's something that I use in marriage counseling all the time. But it's a pyramid. It's a triangle, right? And it's the thing about this triangle, God's at the top, right? And the triangle comes down, right? And then we always tell the husband, well, and your name's here. And then we tell the wife, and your name's here. Now, this can work. This can work with friends, whatever kind of relationship. So you got God at the top, and you got one person here and the other person here. And this is what we always, I don't really focus so much on the problems of the relationship when I counsel as I focus on the relationship that each person has with God. Because that's really the breakdown, isn't it? Somebody's not walking in line with God like they should. And most likely, pretty much you could say every time, both of them are not doing something. It's never just one person. It takes two people to tango, right? So you got God, and then you got the husband and the wife, or the fiance and the fiance, or whatever it is that we're counseling at that moment. But here's the idea. The closer these two individuals draw close to the Lord, the closer they get to God, what's happening? They're getting closer to one another. So it's not all the issues that's really the problem. It's the fact that we don't really know God the way we do. Because here's what's the beautiful thing about that. Is because as this person here is getting to know God, they're becoming more like God. And as this person is getting to know God, they're becoming more like God. The more like God both of them become, the more in common they actually have with one another. So here's where people miss it. Because with this, many people think that unity is achieved by me being more like you and you being more like me. So the focus is on the wrong direction, isn't it? They're both down here and they're like, we gotta find some common ground. Well, there's your common ground. The more you get to know him, the more like him you become. The more you get to know him, the more like him you become. The more like him you become, the more you have in common together. Do you see the power in that? So it's not about, well, you've got to like everything exactly to what I like, and I got to like what you like. No, you just got to like him. You just got to love him. You just got to know him. The more you get to know him, the more you become like God. The more you become like God, the more in common you have with one another, and the better the relationship goes. And you just find yourself one day, whoa, man, we just feel so close. Amen. I love that illustration, man. Glory to God. The more you become like him, the more you have in common with one another. Now, let me back that up with scripture just so you don't think I didn't pull that out of a magazine somewhere. Romans chapter 8, and I'm almost done. It's all about knowing God. Now, remember, we started this series off 3 weeks ago. We started it off over what book was it? I forgot where. Anyway, it's Daniel, right? It says, those that know their God will be strong. That's another indicator. Someone's weak spiritually, that indicates how much they don't know about God, how much they don't know God. Because the Bible says, Daniel says, those who know their God will be strong. See, now we're not talking about knowing about God. We're not talking about being able to quote scripture. I was talking to somebody else this week, you know. They don't go to church here, but I was just talking to them. And man, when they're around me, and maybe around other people too, I don't know, but every time they talk to me, they like to quote a lot of scriptures. While they're telling me about all their struggles and how frustrated they are with this, but then they got all these scriptures they're quoting to me. And great, great, you know scripture. But quoting scripture is not knowing God. Memorizing the Bible is not knowing God. Amen? Memorizing everything your wife said is not really knowing your spouse. It's knowing a lot of things about her. But you've got to have that coming together. You've got to have that hanging out time. You've got to have that communion, right? And the unity that we're after, knowing God, and the unity you're after as a couple, knowing one another, is going to, it's going only going to increase the more you get to know God. The closer you draw to Him, the more you become like Him, the closer you're going to come to one another. Amen? I love that. All right, let's go over to Romans real quick. Romans chapter 8. All right, where are we at here? Look at this. This is awesome. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. Verse 29 says this in the New Living. Let me find it here. There it is. For God knew His people in advance, and He chose them to become like His Son. He chose them to become like His Son. The Amplified and the New King James Version both use this word. He chose them to be conformed to the image of His Son. He chose them to become conformed to the image of His Son. Now, why is that triangle that we talked about so powerful? Because as you're drawing closer to Him and you're becoming more like Him, that means you're learning how to walk in love better. How many know in relationships, you really need to learn how to walk in love? It's an unconditional love, right? And can you imagine what the relationship is like when you're both endeavoring to walk in an unconditional love? A lot of the stuff that we're carrying, the baggage that we bring into the relationship, the baggage that is created even within the relationship, the struggles, the frustrations, if we just learn how to walk in love, a lot of those things are going to fall off. Right? The things that drive you up the wall won't drive you, at least not as far up the wall. Right? Because we're learning to walk in love. And that's the whole idea, is because as we get closer to Him, things just begin to fall off. The things that you insisted and you were so dogmatic about in the beginning, you're just not as dogmatic. You begin to see that they're not really that important. Right? The things that drive you nuts about your mate or your friend. Listen, here's the fact of the matter is, as they're getting close to the Lord, a lot of the things that drive you nuts, they're letting go of. And you're just becoming more like Him. And you're letting go of all the stuff that really don't matter. I've been married for 31 years. First 7 sucked. I'm just being honest. And Heather will tell you, the first 7 was not good for us. Because I had to learn how to do this. And she did too. We had to learn how to, and we had to allow the Holy Spirit develop love in us. You know, the Bible says in Galatians 5:22, talks about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace, all those wonderful things. Well, those are things that the Holy Spirit develops in us. But so many times we don't allow the Holy Spirit to truly develop them. And the way we allow Him to develop them is when we come up onto a conflict, we begin to ask ourselves, is it love? Is it faith? Am I being led by the Spirit of God right now? And by the way, if you're being led by the Spirit of God, it will be love. Yeah. A lot of people say, well, I just felt like the Lord told me to tell her that. No, was it love? Well, not really. Well, but I, no, the Holy Spirit didn't tell you to say it then. Because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of love. You know, no matter what you feel the Holy Spirit was telling you to do, it was more like your flesh telling you to do it. But no matter what you feel like, was it love, and was it are you in faith about this? Faith is like, you know what? we should be able to look at our spouses and those that we're in conflict with and say, listen, we're going to work this out. Come on, it's going to be okay. Let's take this to God. Let's take this to God. But how many know when you're in conflict, that's not usually the first thing that comes out of your mouth? Come on, no, it is not. The flesh starts rising up. Remember how I talked about in Galatians 5:22, talks about all these fruit of the Spirit? Well, two or three verses up above that talks about the works of the flesh. Anger, malice, being malicious, and all these different kind of things that are just works of the flesh, which is kind of the natural default. But we're talking about getting to know God. As you come to know God, you begin to take on more of the fruit of the Spirit, and those things of the flesh just begin to fall off. And you find out one day that, wow, man, our relationship has gotten stronger and stronger and stronger. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, that's all I'm going to share today.